we met with Rene virtually almost a year, year and a half ago. And we had the great experience this summer to prepare one of the most exciting itineraries for a family. Rene works hard on me because he needs to prepare all over the Spain 1 month for this family. And I will take care just for the Costa Brava area. But we have thousands of males, thousands, but almost 45 females, so back and forward, just doing that. We love to get to know our clients, and we love, it's all about people, as we said. Yeah. And today, Irene will explain the backstage, you know, how the concept, how is the first contact with client, how is the first draft program, and after this draft program and contact with the clients, how they, all the people, and all the professionals and all the travel agents and reservation managers and product managers from Airbnb in contact with the suppliers to transmit all this knowledge from the client and what they want and what they need. And then when these platforms arrive to us, how we can prepare them. And also it's important that all these dream of the make it happen attitude, and try to do the same and to be the same, you know, with their clients. So their clients is our clients when they are right here. You know? So we need to be at the same level. So Irene, it's all these people are here and wait to listen to you. Of course, I would like that you can raise your hand if you want to make a question during the presentation, during the speech, or at the end. It's not mandatory, but I would like to, that's one question always for each one. I'm sure that at the end you will have a lot of questions for me. Now is the opportunity that we bring and to the university this opportunity to have a relevant person, you know, that gives you a speech of reality in the travel industry and how to create an itinerary. So please do some questions, because that means that you have some interest in this new and real life. Irene, all yours.
So hi everybody. Well, you've heard a little bit about me, but well, my background is in sales and communications, and yeah, being a born traveler, I've been all over the world until around 7 years ago. So I decided it was about time to go back to my own country and rediscover it. So I've been working with Paul for quite some time now, and we've had a lot of fun because we are both very creative and we are very, very client and detail oriented. So I really enjoyed working with him. He's like the most reliable person on earth. And I'm very happy to be here with you. So thank you both for inviting me here. He mentioned Madrid and Beyond. So I guess you know a little bit more about what we do. I want to just give you a few bullet points on what we do. We are a destination management company, and we design luxury and tailor-made journeys for the most discerning travelers in the world. We operate in both Spain and Portugal. So like in our main business comes from high-end travel agencies from the United States, Canada, Australia, although we also work with other markets, but those are the most important ones to us. And when you think about what our clients want, our clients are looking to really get under the skin of local places and the local culture where they visit. They want to be amazed, they want to be surprised, and also enjoy a very like a hassle-free vacation. So that's what we deliver. That means there's a million steps from when you get the request until you confirm the trip and the traveler's final here. There's a million steps. You have to have a hawk eye for detail, be creative, and yeah, have that make it happen attitude. It is an amazing job. I think we have the most amazing job in the world. When you think about the US market, like these clients, they are very well traveled. They're very well traveled. We are in the luxury sector, so they know what they want. They like it's hard to surprise them. So it's an amazing challenge. Like it really motivates me to surprise these people that are really, really interested, have a genuine interest in our culture and learning new things. And they're very, very difficult to surprise. So that is something that I absolutely love doing. So what I want to explain is, like, from the moment you receive the trip request until you confirm the trip, how real life is in the office. This is a little bit of theory, but this is reality. This is what you have every day in a working at a DMC. So you have the sales part and then the operations part. The sales part would be from the moment you receive their trip requests until they confirm the trip and they're ready to pay the deposit. And then the logistics and operations part begins, which is very, very complicated and crucial to the success of the trip. Because you can sell, I don't know, something that you created like with a lot of imagination and whatever, but then if you cannot comply and do not work on the details, it will probably be a mess of an experience. So the first step is receiving the trip request. In this step, you need to gather as much information about the client as possible. Like literally, information is power here. You are expected to do the perfect match in between the traveler and the endless experiences that we can offer. It's literally like a Tinder. You need to match these, like understand the client's personality, their preferences, the way they like to travel. And then with your knowledge on the and expertise on the ground, create a custom itinerary that will really have that wow effect on them. And for that, you'll need creativity, knowledge, and knowledge on the destination that you are working at. There are two different ways we receive clients. One of them is direct clients. That means usually most of them are referrals from happy clients that recommended us, or people that search online and they contact us through the website. So direct clients are amazing because you have the opportunity to talk directly to the client that is going to travel. It's always best for me to send an initial ideas email and try to secure a call. The call, besides bonding with the client and learning about their interests and preferences, which is very, very important, for me, it's also very, very efficient. It can take you an hour of a call, but after like discussing with them all the options, having the time to further explain the details, places that I've been to, what I think about that place, what I think would work best for them, answer all the questions that they have. Once you hang up that phone, you're ready to jump into creating the itinerary and the costing and the pricing. So I would always recommend doing a phone call. The other way we receive the requests is through travel agents. The difference there is that they are the ones in contact with the clients. So it really depends on the travel agent. Some provide a lot of information about them. Some of them just basic information. You just need to be creative and give them several options. Because you have to think that most of them don't even cannot even imagine what they can do in Spain. They know about the beaches, they know about astronomy, but they don't really know the insider's access that we have to. So you have to let them know their choices. So to get the ball rolling, my first response email, I ask several questions. Each one of them is very important. And the first one is usually, is this your first time in Spain or Portugal? Because if they've been here, they will probably let you know their favorite place, what they like the most, and that gives you information about them. Then all the obvious question, the dates to travel and the number of nights. Here you have to watch out because sometimes say, okay, from the 21st of November to the 31st, But sometimes they forget that they, if they're leaving on the 21st, they will arrive on the 22nd, which means you have one day less in the itinerary. So make sure the dates they're giving you is the date of arrival to Spain. Then a question that I love and also a lot is, which was your favorite trip ever and why? Because imagine someone saying like, well, my favorite trip was, and the moment of the trip was driving along small villages in southern Italy, like the countryside was so beautiful. And then we stopped at leisure, discovering small places. And so you get an idea of, well, maybe they will like the medieval towns of Girona or maybe the white towns in Andalusia, like that, the kind of experience they would like. Maybe they say like, well, my favorite trip was a cruise in the Bahamas. Well, that kind of client, they will probably would not be that interested in architecture and history. You have to read the client, and asking the right questions will lead you to get to know them better. Always ask about the destinations, if they have any destinations in mind, because sometimes it says, I really don't know. It depends on, I rely on you. Or sometimes they say, I want to see the Alhambra for sure. And the rest is up to you. And sometimes they know exactly what they want to do. The preferred pace of travel. This is very important. Unless they specifically tell you that that they want to see everything and do everything, and I don't want to be sitting down for a minute and to travel as much as possible, and I don't want to wait a second. Unless they say that, you need to think of downtime. It also happens to me, like when I travel to a new country, I start doing my research and I see how many things I want to do and see, and oh, this is only 2-hour flight, so I can get that flight. But then you're over scheduled. You forget you're on holidays. You're on holidays, you want to rest, you want to disconnect. And also, like, let yourself like feel the city and the place you're at and let go of, like, let that small coffee shop in a beautiful plaza with blooming trees on top, like that, let that coffee shop seduce you. And that is important. That is something that like clients, you need to make them understand, because many times they want to do everything. And those are the moments that in the end of the trip, they treasure the most as well. Like having a nice conversation with your traveling companions. That is very, very important to have in mind and explain them. Another question that's important is the do's and don'ts in travel. There's people that say like, okay, I don't want to see one museum, or I'm not that interested in gastronomy. Like, although Spain is a must for gastronomy, like I'm not interested. So that is also a very, very useful question. Then the obvious as well, types of experiences they enjoy the most. Maybe it's gastronomy, maybe it's outdoors, maybe it's more architecture, maybe a little bit of everything, maybe Jewish heritage. Like there's like, yeah, we are all individuals, so each kind of traveler has specific interests. Most of the times, they will adapt their own interests to what is to see in the country. So there's some people that come from Napa Valley and they are in the wine industry. And they say like, look, I work in the wine industry and I don't want to see a vineyard. I want to see something else. And there are other clients that work in Napa Valley and want to see the most exclusive vineyards in the world. So it's important to do this question about what they like to do or not. Then gastronomy. Gastronomy is my specialty. I'm food obsessed. Everywhere in the world, like a supermarket or a market, really excites me. I think it's an amazing way to get to know the culture. So it's a question that I have to ask. How much of a foodie are you from 1 to 10? Let me know. And depending on how much food they are, I can really, really surprise them. So it's also important, especially in a country like Spain and Portugal. Like, if you would go to, I don't know, maybe Canada, like that question might not be that relevant. And then another question that helps me a lot is asking them, like, when you think about the trip, what gets you more excited? Because sometimes they say like, well, I want to try the food, or I want to see the Alhambra, or I just want to meet the local people. So these things, like, obviously they help you to emphasize and make sure that what gets them more excited happens. And it also helps me a lot with like gifts and surprises. If they say, for instance, that he is Gaudi obsessed, like they love Gaudi, what I would do is send them, before the trip, to get them excited, I would send them a book, one of those like coffee table books, to their home in the US on Gaudi. So it was a nice note and explaining them, getting them excited before the trip. And then, I would let the guide know that they're crazy about Gaudi and have like nice surprises and little touches with them. And then, well, the other question is, well, any other relevant information? Cause then they might say, well, I love food, but I'm vegetarian, or I know. We've heard a lot of things. So that is, those are the questions that you need to make the client that help me. Well, everyone's got their own style. These are the ones that help me understand the client that I'm going to design an itinerary for. And once I have all that information, which can be either on a call or in 1,000 emails, you start working on the trip proposal. So I gather all that information that I have in a client briefing and then go to the proposal. Once you have, this is like a puzzle that you really need to solve, because all the destinations that you've mentioned, the hotels to go to. Oh, I forgot about the hotels, sorry. The question about hotel tastes. It's a hotel tastes in terms of style and size. Because it's not only about if it's 5 stars or 4 stars. They might say, I like boutique hotels, or I am a big Marriott fan, or because it's important also to know that the category of the room, because as you know, there's a million categories in each hotel, and you need to know what the client prefers. So we are now on the trip proposal. Things you have to think: the amount of days they have. You have, with the American public, you have to think that most of the flights arrive early in the morning. So that means that probably the room will not be ready upon arrival. So if they've been in a long flight, you have to let them know. It's all about managing expectations. They will not be disappointed if they know. But if they think they come here and that once they arrive, they'll have time to have a shower, and take a nap and recover from the trip, they might be disappointed. So always, always manage expectations and explain what they are going to experience. So the only way to secure the early check-in for them is offering them to book the night before. So sometimes some clients will go for it, and some others just prefer to go for a walk and wait until the room is ready. Another thing to take into consideration with the amount of days is that most airlines have their flights from Spain to the US early in the morning, which means that you have to have the clients in the city where they're going to leave from. Like usually it's Madrid or Barcelona, which are the biggest international airports. You have to be in that city at least the night before. Because if their flight leaves at 11 a.m. in the morning, you don't want to risk putting them in a flight from Seville that it's maybe only 1 hour flight. But if there's any delay, you don't want to risk them missing their flight back home. So that is important, because if they have 8 days, you know that the first day is usually just put a small experience in the afternoon, unless they're ready to rock from the moment they arrive, and then think that the night before they should be in the city where they will depart from. So you have that, with those days in mind, you can start working. Then you have to work on destinations and seasons. Your knowledge is really crucial here. So, for example, what would you recommend to a couple that wants a lot of gastronomic experiences but also wants outdoor activities in late November? So, like most people would think of the Basque Country. You have a lot of hikes and amazing outdoor activities, and gastronomy is like, it's like the gastronomical capital of Spain. But you have to think that late November will probably be raining. So they will have the gastronomic experiences, but most likely you'll have to cancel every outdoor activity due to the rains. So your knowledge here is really, really important. Also, like for instance, a family wanted to travel in Easter holidays and they want a very relaxed and slow paced kind of trip. You have to know that Seville in Easter is madness. Either you want to go full in and like delve deep into like the culture and like the processions and everything, or that would not be advisable. There are many clients that don't know about weather in Spain, so they request to a group of friends a trip to Ibiza in January because they want to like have that kind of cool trip. But yeah, there's nothing happening in Ibiza in January and it's really cold. So yeah, when thinking about destinations, think about the season. It's very, very important. About hotels. As luxury travel experts, we have visited every single hotel that we work with. We never make bookings at hotels that we have not visited. So fam trips are one of the best parts of this job. You have to travel everywhere and taste everything you're gonna sell. So with hotels, you need to know the best rooms, the ambience, like the service, is it excellent breakfast, is it a moment you need to cherish and then start the activities after like a 2 hours breakfast. You need to know everything about the hotel. Like we always choose hotels that best reflect the personality and the soul of each city. They are boutique hotels that really, you really feel the place where you're at. Obviously, they have to have amazing service as well. Most of these hotels are renovated palaces, convents. The rooms here are smaller than in the US. That is something that you need to bear. It's very important for Americans. They are used to larger, much, much larger spaces. So never book a room that is smaller than 20, 25 square meters. And if you do so, explain. Like always explain that the spaces here are smaller because this palace, this convent was not designed or meant to be a hotel. So imagine the architect that had to do all the renovations and try to squeeze in a suite, like a standard room. Like it, so just let them know and let them know the options and always go to for superior categories. About the hotels, like unless you are 100% that you have the perfect fit for that client, I like to offer two different options in the itinerary. When you get to the experiences, you have to say, well, you have already spoken with them and with the information you have to be creative. Like here is the moment where you can really wow them. In this initial stage, you're just like working on an email. You're not into a formal proposal yet. But yeah, be creative. Like think of the things that will really surprise them. Like don't go for the usual like city highlights, half day tour. Like that is, I mean, it's interesting, but like always give it a twist. And also with transports, it's also important to let them know about the high speed train, which many people are not familiar with, and people prefer to fly from Madrid to Barcelona when it's much more convenient to get the high speed train. It literally, like going to the airport, they are also always at the outskirts of the city. You have to be there at least 1 hour and a half prior to departure. And although the flight might take 1 hour, in the case of Madrid and Barcelona, the total trip time, it's like 3 hours, more or less. And with a high-speed train, you go from the city center, which will most likely be 15 minutes away from your hotel, to Barcelona, which will also be 15 minutes away from your hotel. So it is like hassle-free and a very different experience for Americans because they don't have high-speed trains. Usually in the US. All this information, as I said, would ideally be gathered in a phone call or in the emails. But what works for me is sending an outline of the itinerary with destinations, hotels, and activities. At this point, you're just in the initial stages of the sale, so you don't need to get into too many details. I want to show you an example that I have. It's just a Word document, but this is real life. Sorry, guys. but I want to show you. It is a client that sent us a request. It is one of the best requests you can receive because it has got a lot of information to get back to them in a first email with a lot of answers. So let me try to share the screen. Okay.
By the way, Irene is in Mexico now, and it's 1 o'clock morning time, and she wake up today because the jet lag, right from Madrid, right there. She wake up at 4, she stopped working, that's why the problem is in the evening, probably had dinner, and then now is here for you. So for the people that arrive late, you know, in the question to the end, because it's an a great opportunity to have Irene wake up for you.
No, no way.
But it's 1 o'clock in Mexico time. I told her that the discos in Mexico will close at 6, so she will have time to go there after the okay, well.
So this is an example. Sorry for the format, but this is a. Can you see it?
No.
Yes.
No.
That. Perhaps Paul, you have you been here?
No. Sorry. Yeah. No. Okay.
But it works. Now it works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry for the format. It's not fancy at all. But yeah, as I said, this is real life. So this is the information we got from the client. I'm going to read it for you. We are from Napa and in the wine business. So some high-end wine experiences are a must. We are also foodies and would like to experience some of Spain's most amazing restaurants. We would like it to be a romantic trip with some adventure mixed in. A mix of the country and the coast would be great. We have no problems flying all places, taking trains, or whatever we need to do, but do not want to spend a majority of our time traveling. No preference on where we fly out to go home. We prefer 5-star accommodations if possible, and travel dates are somewhat flexible. And the dates. So this is like a dream-like request. They know what they want. They have not talked about destinations, but they have given you a lot of information about what they like to do. So here comes your added value. You will choose the best itinerary with all this information. This is really a really good request. So I introduce the company, whatnot, and then I ask them the questions that I have. They have not filled in their requests. In this case, is this your first time? Which was your most memorable trip? And do you have any other destination in mind, etc. And then this is like, this is what I wanted to show you. Before getting into itinerary, because I had enough information to work on this, just an outline of the itinerary, but with explaining what they could do. Like, for instance, this 12 over, like, they were flying from Santiago de Compostela. So get an early flight from Santiago to Bilbao, enjoy a private visit to the Guggenheim Museum, and continue your journey to San Sebastian. Halfway in between these two cities, you'll find Getaria, a fisherman's village where you'll taste the most amazing grilled seafood in the country. There are great restaurant options, but if you want the best of the best, I'd choose El Gano and the hotel suggestion with a link to the hotel. So you go day by day explaining and describing a little bit of what they could do. As you see, I'm not getting into details or pickup times or anything. It's just part of like, it's more of inspirational. You can give them several options here as well. Like, for instance, here, like, enjoy a stroll around the city before immersing in one of the city's most rooted traditions, a cooking class in a private gastronomic society. Or maybe you prefer discovering the city while eating pincho after pincho. So, and the, like here, like once the client gets back to you, well, I sent all of these and then tried to secure a call because I wanted a quick chat over the phone. And so this was my initial response. Let me just do that. Okay, I'm back here. So this, once you send this, the client will get back to you with their feedback, like, I want more gastronomic experiences, I want more outdoor, I want more leisure. Like, I didn't even get into, like, high-speed trains or flights. It really depends. I would only mention it if it's important. Like, for instance, if you travel from Seville to Granada, I always recommend to get a private driver and stop in the white towns en route. And that, like, in that case, I would specify with a private driver and a little bit of, like, the driving time. Once you have their feedback, you're going to go back and forth, like sharing like more ideas, and they ask about their concerns. And once you, like, here, don't forget, it's a proposal. Like, nothing has been booked yet, and it's an inspirational proposal. So once you know the itinerary they'll do, and you have all the information, you have the briefing, even if they're still hesitant in between a few experiences, you can always add them as optionals. Then you jump on the proper itinerary. We work with Axus. I don't know if you know it or if you've worked with it. But there, well, it's an amazing tool to create itineraries, and you can.
Which one?
Axus.
AXUS.
So it's an amazing tool for us. It really helps us design the itineraries, because you have your database with all the descriptions. So for instance, you put the dates that they're going to travel from the 10th to the 12th, and day by day you go like hotel options, and you put the hotel, you look for the hotel that you want to include in the itinerary, and you have the hotel description and all the information there. So it's really, really useful for creating itineraries, although I would always encourage you to not always use the templates, because you have spent enough time talking to the client or the travel agent to get to know them better. So always edit them, like make them more, like personalize them, custom them, like just drop a line where it's saying like, Marina, these, like, you like seafood, like this restaurant will be impressive for you, or you know, like always try to put like more personal touches. Go further always. Once we have the Axus itinerary ready, you work on the pricing. I'm not gonna get too much into detail there, because that could be like 3 hours, but just a few things to have in mind. We have confidential rates with our suppliers, hotels, and guides, and transport. And although we are selling luxury and our clients have a very interesting budget, we have to be competitive. Like, luxury does not mean ridiculously expensive. Like, in our clients, they're very well traveled. So they know what it's worth for them. I love to include extra money for surprises in the itineraries, and that work of doing the pricing is very, very, very hard and important, because you have different rates with different hotels. Each supplier has their own way of quoting their experiences or the transport. So it's like you have to have a hawk-eye attention to detail while doing these pricings. And always, if it comes from a travel agent, bear in mind they will have to add their markup on top of the sales mix. Once you have the proposal in Axus and pricing, you send it to the client and wait for the feedback. If you have done a good job in the first stage, at this point, it should only be a matter of choosing the upgrades in the hotels or like a few optional experiences. So that is the way I like to work. There's people that send the itinerary right away. This is the way that I find it's most efficient. So once they're ready, like that sweet moment when you get an email saying that they are ready to move forward, that is a very beautiful moment in our day, but you have to act very quickly. If you have just sold them an itinerary with activities and hotels that are not confirmed, you have not checked if the hotel has availability, you have not checked if Paul is going to be in a university on that day, giving a lecture, like you need to very fast. And this is really, really crucial. It's all about also like managing expectations, because there, if there is something that you, that was included in the itinerary they paid for and you cannot deliver it for any reason, the hotel is fully booked, or yeah, or Paul is in university, like teaching you guys. So yeah, you need to have a plan B. And if that doesn't work, like try to change the dates and whatever to make it up for their expectations. Here you have to work very closely with all your collaborators. You might think that, I don't know, like visiting a cada case at the end of the day might be at the end of the day, self-driving after visiting wineries might be a good idea. But then I tell Paul, and Paul tells me, like, I mean, it's not a good idea at all, because like the road to Caracas, it's very windy. Like they're gonna have trouble like on that road. I would definitely put them a private driver. And also, you have to work really, really closely with your collaborators, because our guides, they breathe and leave each destination. So please listen to them. Like you know about the country, but no one knows better about the specific destination as they do. And that is also part of the challenge of being a successful company as we are. We are proud to work with the best guides and collaborators in Spain. Literally, like our slogan is, it's all about the people, but it's not only about the clients, but the people that we work with, like, well, it's they are really like family to us. They are the best. Like literally, you can count on them. They will always go the extra mile for the clients, and it gives you a big peace of mind to know that you can always rely on them, and they will give you the best advice. So at this stage, it's very important to share all the information you can with them. So the moment it is confirmed, you start like first confirming the hotels, tell them like if you want connecting rooms, if you want the junior suite, like, well, you work on the hotels, and then with the experiences. This is like, for me, the most important part. The information you should tell your collaborator is, well, first of all, obviously the date that the experience is going to take place, the time that you suggest is best for that experience, the number of people, but sending the description that you included in your itinerary for the client. Because if you mentioned, like for this, Karen, like I mentioned that there's an amazing restaurant in Getaria, and I would recommend them stopping in between, like on their way from Bilbao to San Sebastian. And I just book a transport from Bilbao to San Sebastian, they will not know they have to stop in Getaria. So that is really, really, really important. That our collaborators know exactly what we sold the client. Sometimes they'll tell me like sorry, like it's harvest season in Costa Brava, and like the wineries are way too busy to receive any clients. So we need to change that experience. Or why not do it? Like they know everything about the destinations they work at. So work very closely. You have to think about every single detail. Like with the transport, you have to say it's not four people traveling. It's four people traveling with their four big suitcases and the small carry-ons. So you think, yeah, they can get in a car with a driver. No, they need a minivan. If it's a bigger family, would I go for a minibus or would I go for two smaller cars? Where are they located? Where are the places they're going to visit? Because if they're going to visit like very remote places, a minibus would not be recommended, because it will most likely would be difficult for the car to reach that point. Yeah, like transport, you have to think about everything. And the most important thing here is timing. Thinking about the timing. The trip has to go as smooth as it gets. clients come here to be spoiled, to like, they don't want to have to worry about anything but enjoying, and you have to deliver that. And that means that it has to be like hassle-free, flawless, the trip has, and for that you need to think about the timings. If we tell a guide we'll start the experience at 10 a.m. but are we picking them up from the hotel and the experience will start half an hour away? So would you put the start of the experience at 9:30, or would it be 10? Like, everything has to be calculated to the minute, always thinking that things happen and like there's delays, but you have to be very, very, very thoughtful with the timing. So I want to share you an itinerary that I work with Paul. This was she's a travel agent that we work with very closely. It was not for any of her clients, it was for her and her family. They were here for a month in August. It was very challenging because the like last minute requests are the new normal. And she contacted us only 3 weeks before arriving to Spain. So we had 3 weeks to plan a 1 month itinerary for a multi-generation family with people arriving in different dates to different destinations. So it was very, very, very challenging, but also amazingly rewarding. Like the trip went amazingly well. They had the time of their life, and Paul helped me a lot with the Costa Brava part, where they stayed for 5 days. So I'm going to share with you a real itinerary that is here. Hold on. Hold on, because I don't know what I'm doing. Hold on. I know what I did wrong. Sorry.
No worry.
Okay, can you see it now?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. So this is an itinerary created with Access. We have, our logo, our names. If it comes from a travel agent, here in the logo you will have, we do not exist. It's only the travel agent's agency logo and their name. So we act in the background. So I'm going to go to the last part, which was Costa Brava. And I wanted to take a look at how an itinerary looks like. Usually you have like the cover photo with obviously representative pictures. You cannot put here, if it's a trip in the Basque Country and Catalonia, you cannot add photos of Seville. You have to be very, very careful with that. I always in the title of the trip, try to summarize what they're gonna live. And here you have, in the pre-travel, you probably won't see it, but I'll go, this is like a resume of the day by day, okay? But then each day it's explained a bit better. So this is something new that we need to put, which is vaccination cards and all the hassle that COVID has given us, restrictions, etc. The 24-hour contact details, because we always offer a 24-hour emergency phone for our clients. If your itinerary is well done and you have every detail written here, the meeting points, where the driver will meet them outside the airport, timings, contact numbers for every guide, for every transfer. If you have a good itinerary, this phone number will only be used for real emergencies, nothing else. So it is a pretty long itinerary, but I'll get to Costa Brava. So there were people arriving the day before they got to Costa Brava. Okay, San Sebastian, okay. So what I told Paul, I have a family that's going to spend 5 days. I know the experiences that we can do in Costa Brava, but since they were going to spend 5 days, and it was a multi-generation, like there were the grandparents, a two-year-old kid, a single lady, a couple. Then the uncle joined with her daughter, so when she was around 15. So it was a lot of information. So I decided to, instead of just suggesting what I think they would want, I decided to call Paul to help me out with a 5 days itinerary in Costa Brava. So the first day they wanted to have the day at leisure because some people had just arrived the day before and it was the end of the trip. So they were pretty tired by this time. And then the day after they had the excursion to the medieval villages and hidden base in Costa Brava by kayak. As you see, you have here the start time. So with Paul, like they might start the activity at 10 a.m., but they had to pick them. We had a minivan pick them up at their villa. So you have to, yeah, to really think the preparation time. Pick them up at 9, probably they'll be there at 9:30 while they get all their gear and they have an introduction of the experience they'll do. They will probably start around 10 a.m. So you have to put the meeting point. This was the address of their villa, and the contact info. Carlos was their guide. So if anything happens, if they're delayed or there's less people arriving or less people joining, they can always contact the guide directly. Here in the description, it is important because you cannot just say, you'll visit this town and this other town and then kayak along the coast for 2 hours. They need to know exactly what's going to happen. So this morning, meet your private guide and driver at your villa and set to discover the Costa Brava. Later, like you properly describe the experience, the towns they're going to visit, and let them know they're going to have a 20-minute briefing for the kayak so they're not disappointed and think they're just going to jump on the water. After the kayaking, the expert guide will guide you along the rocky coast following the Camí de Ronda. So here you also have to think. Paul chose this one because it was a multi-gen family. If they were not sure if their grandparents were going to join, but it is an easy hike. And I mean, not very challenging in terms of fitness, let's say. You have to let them know if the meal is included, if what kind of restaurant they're going to go, or maybe if, like here, I like to like do surprises and don't let them know about that meal and put a picnic, for instance. But in this case, that travel agent, she's a travel agent, so she wanted to know absolutely everything she was doing. So it was very difficult to have surprises with her. At the end of day, head back to your apartment villa with your private and guide. So this is an example of like how to put all the information and manage the expectations of the clients, what they're going to get.
Irene,
sí.
Talking about that day and the final itinerary of that day, and talking about the local experts, well, they start at 9 and they're supposed to start the hiking in Camarillo village and then go to Caleta. When the guys met the family, the villa, and they see everything, they decide, instead of starting in Tamarillo and then climb the big mountain and go to Calella, they avoid like 1 kilometer and they started right after Tamarillo. And because they know that probably that part of this hike will be a little challenged with all the people that is coming. But the most important thing is the detail that the driver knows very well all these parts of the coast and knows exactly the point that the guy wants to go with the bike. Only saying, instead of going to Tamayo, we go to this point. Okay, I know it. So the importance of communication and the knowledge of all the people that is in this itinerary, you know, so the driver, and the guy. After, they start in Taiwan and they have lunch in Kalaysia. And in Kalaysia, obviously, you have plenty of restaurants to choose. Which one you want to choose? The one that gives you the wow moment, the wow effect, the memorable. And it's one restaurant, is on the beach, right on the beach, that cooks for us, for the guy, for myself, and also for the driver, the best rice in the Costa Brava. It's in our ranking. So the important that Irene says, no, the knowledge, but not only the knowledge from Irene and my knowledge. Because now is the most important part of the trip, is during the trip, the expectations and all the work that Irene and myself, now it seems driver hands and local guide hands. So it's a teamwork, and a teamwork with people that you are not in the same company. A teamwork from Irene, a teamwork, team member is Irene, myself as a coordinator, the local guide, the driver company, and the driver, the last, so the persons that will be with the clients at that moment. And they will work and they need to know. So for this reason, I always ask to Irene, I would like to have the itinerary, the whole itinerary, the pre-tours. So they come from San Sebastian, they go to Andalusia, I had this experience, I have this brief information of the buyer persona, of who will become, and I will forward this information to the local guide, but also to the driver company. He said the driver, they need to know also this. It's not only a driver. It's a driver inside a minivan with six people. So in some moments, the driver probably need to participate in somehow. Okay, four of them, they decide, and the other two, they decide at that moment, they don't want to walk, and they prefer to go directly to Kalaysia. That may happen. The driver would be alone with these two. So I want an English for the driver, and a driver that can give some conversation to this buyer during the time that they will be there. With this, we create this wow moment, this high upscale luxury and luxury. You know, the luxury is to have these people around the buyer. For this reason, always, and it's our challenge, you know, that the people from Madrid and beyond always, if they need something in Costa Brava, they will always ask to us to do the service to them. But that case, and instead of this time, the first draft program starts at 9:30. And the guy says, we should start at 9. Because I will arrive there. We probably, yes, 8 people. We probably will start at 9 or 9:10, we'll leave the villa. And we have time, relax. And then everything is going back. We can expand if they want to spend 20 minutes more during the breakfast or the coffee break time, you know, the break time. In that part, we start in Tamariwa, we finish in Kalaya, but we add a technical stop in the front, an hour and a half later, just for a coffee and an orange juice and relax. And we do the slow tourism, no, concept. The slow tourism with local guides, local driver, and the great expectation. Okay. Any questions from you? And now, because we are running the last part.
Is any of you students interested in this kind of agency? Because I know there's a million things you can do. You can work in hotels, you can work in big tour operators. Are any of you interested in this kind of agency, like a destination management company? Have any of you thought about it?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 of 20.
And what do you like the most about what we do? What gets you more excited now?
Yeah. You? Can you repeat the question?
What gets you more excited when you think about our job, like working in a destination management company? Is it the fam trips, which I would really understand, because are the most fun part of our job? Why does it seduce you?
I think it's very nice that you can create these things for people, like having a nice holiday and visiting, at the same time promoting your country, because you are showing them what you want them to see from Spain, for example, because you know better. If they come on their own, maybe they will miss some points that are good and that will make them come back. And I like this planning, what they have to do, talking with the hotels, with restaurants. It sounds exciting.
It is exciting. So when you finish your degree, if you're interested, you can always contact us on LinkedIn and see where we're hunting. We have people from all nationalities in Madrid and beyond. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.